Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a nice treat for you tonight. We've got Clyde Lewis, and we did a pre-record on a gathering at the in the conference building where we had, you know, live questions and both of us up on stage. So I think you're going to really enjoy the show tonight.
Welcome to East City, ladies and gentlemen, where the men are good-looking, the women are strong, and the children... they're abducted. Thank you. We're done. That was great. I think that was great. That was worth the admission prize, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny how you work the crowd, or the crowd works with you. It's awesome. I am so glad to see so many people here at eCity. This has been probably, just I can't count how many times I come up here every year. And I have so many great experiences that I share with people every time I come here. Last year it was the Bigfoot thing. Saw Bigfoot in the orchard, ran by. I was disappointed because I couldn't get a picture, and I was really, really sad because I knew that if I told anybody the story, they wouldn't believe me. But then James got a picture of the foot, and now I feel all vindicated and happy, so that's cool. But there are a lot of things here that you take with you, a lot of experiences you take with you. This place is a choice place. This place has this vibe that's just unexplainable. Many people who come here feel it, they understand. They know that this is a place of peace, a place of harmony, and it is a place where you can have experiences that are just remarkable, fantastic. When I first came here, just to tell you a little story before I introduce you to James, I came here because I had always, I knew of James. I have interviewed him a couple times, and I said, I'm going to make it a point to go out to East City. So I came out here, and I remember I brought some friends with me. One guy was from the Air Force. He brought his girlfriend. We saw the beam ships in the sky, and he told me, he says, those aren't any of ours. He said, I'm seeing UFOs. We saw 10 UFOs that night. We didn't know what they were, but they were beautiful. They were brilliant. They fire up. They dance. They do little ballets in the sky. It was just a remarkable experience. But the thing that most touched me was that I was staying in that first lodge with the pyramid on it. And what had happened is that I had a dream, or though I thought it was a dream, I had a blue entity appear to me, bright blue and shiny entity appear to me. I couldn't believe this. I thought, where am I? Why is this, you know, place on the edge of the Twilight Zone give me reason to speak and reason to give testimony of what this place is? I was so overwhelmed with this being. It had such a feeling of joy, but it was also a feeling of warning. This being had told me that, you know, you've lived a good life, but now you have to go to the doctor. You have to figure out what's wrong with your health. And to be honest, even though the doctors diagnosed me with cancer back in 2007, and then previous years, and then for 5 years, I've been fighting it ever since. It was that being that told me that I needed to see a doctor. It was that being that warned me that I needed to look after my body. They got it in time. I was fine. But see, everybody has an experience in this place. Everybody feels the vibe. They feel the love. They feel that something wonderful is about to happen to them in this very space. And the thing is, I always tell people, if you don't have a great experience here, you're not paying attention. Because this is a place where the awake gather, and they're so awake and so vibrant and so full of love and so full of wanting knowledge and to experience stuff they haven't experienced before. It's the most remarkable feeling to be able to walk away and say, you know, I spent some time in this beautiful postcard of a locale, and I'm walking away with such a wonderful experience and such residual spiritual, I guess you could call it nourishment, that you can get through your month, you can get through your year, and know that it's with you. And it's all because of this man sitting next to me, Mr. James Gillen, who I've known over the years, and every time I get to know him, I remember one time I scheduled him to be at the UFO Museum to speak, and a young girl came up to him and looked him in the eye and said, you're the real thing, aren't you? And I laughed and I said, yes, he is the real thing. He is a real person. He's had real experiences he wants to share with you. So I'm going to hand the mic over to James Gillen and have him share with you why this place is so special and why he's such a special individual as well. James Gillen, let's give him a hand.
sorry. Short mic cord. anyway, it's pretty weird, like, sitting up here and telling people why you're so special. That just, I don't think I can pull that one off. Because everybody's special. I'm not any more special than anybody else. And it's important to realize that. We all came in from the source. And we all go back to the source. And what we do in between is what we choose to do. And it's basically that simple. But it's not that complicated. But, you know, it's the ranch here. I couldn't have done this without, I mean, I have some wonderful people here that came in right on time. Joseph, Ashley, Dan, ARs, who's not here right now. My family, you know, I've had so much help here to pull this off and to pull this dream off. And we just had some amazing things happen. We had the ambassador training, which we had over 60 people for that event. We had, maybe 160 people at the last conference, which was a really nice turnout with some incredible speakers. But I've been going like 24/7. It's like I went to Eugene and took Captain Kramer. Everybody know who Captain Kramer is, or Randy Kramer? He's the guy from Mars. He's one of the pilots from Mars and everything. And so I drove him back to Eugene, and I picked his brain for 3 hours, you know, and asked him all the things that I knew about from my contacts and my connections, and he validated all of it, you know. And same thing, I've been saying for a long time, we've been going back and forth to Mars since 1960. According to my sources, and he said, yeah, definitely. He said, I think it was 60, early 60s, 64, definitely we had a presence there, a pretty good presence there in 64 on. So that was kind of interesting. But just the detailed information that he was given was amazing. And so we were sharing notes, and I was plugging him into the higher beings, which he hasn't really been working with. He's been working more hands-on 3D, a little bit of 4D stuff, but mainly 3D stuff. And here at the ranch, we're working with 5, 6, 7D, even 9D. So there's ninth dimensional beings hanging out here waiting to connect with people who are ready. So when I tell people that the, you know, it's not about nuts and bolts. I mean, you're going to see stuff flying. If they power down, you'll see that some of them are metal. Most of them aren't. You know, most of them are dropping in from a whole nother dimension. But most of what you're going to see in here is light ships. We do have pictures of the nuts and bolts and the metal ships and things for people that need that. And those are on the website or in my presentations. I have all that. But I kind of get bored with show me or prove it to me. It's not my job to prove it to people. And a good example is Steve Marino. I love his great UFO investigator, PSI applications. He came to my door and he said that he goes, you know, I've, you know, driven 400 miles, you know, to check this place out, you know. And he said that, but I'll be straight up with you. If you aren't for real, I'm going to debunk you like this. And I started laughing. He goes, what's so funny? And I said, it's not between you and me. It's between you and them. And so take a chair out in the field and start meditating and make your peace with them. And I closed the door on him. I just closed the door. And I went back and I was eating lunch and I finished my lunch. And so he couldn't believe it. He goes, I can't believe it. He goes, I drove 400 miles and the guy closed the door on me, you know, just shut the door. And so that's kind of my attitude about this. You know, if you come with an attitude, you're going to get an attitude back. You're not going to get what you want. You're going to get what you need. And that's the way things work here. So he went out in the field and he was pretty upset at first and he calmed down. And he said, okay, you know, if you guys are here, if you are for real, I'll be your staunchest ally. Just show yourselves like this. And right after he said that, two ships powered up and flew right over his head. And so he was really on it from then on. It was quite interesting. But I always tell people, East SETI is where debunkers come to die, you know, so because there's so much evidence here. But, you know, you can still, I'm fully amazed at how you see with your brain. Your brain chooses what's your reality, what you see. Your mind, your eyes are picking up billions of bits of information, even other dimensions. Your side vision is picking up all kinds of other dimensions. The cones in your eyes will pick up, you know, the shadow people, the other beings out the side vision. And so your brain is seeing all this information, but your mind, your eyes are seeing all this information, but your mind or your brain is choosing. Out of billions of bits of information, it's choosing what is going to be your reality or what's useful for you. So scientists have proven you see with your brain, You know, you actually, your brain chooses what you see. So it's so much better to say, not to say, I'll believe it when I see it, but just say, you know what, this is probably, you know, I'm just going to open myself up. I'm going to come at this with pure intention, an open mind, a loving heart. I'm going to keep my discernment, but I'm just going to open to the possibilities that there are ships out there and that I just may see one, and I'm going to send them love and joy and bliss and see if something happens. And that's when things happen. So we've been so successful here because we took an entirely different approach. You can see by the banner, ESETI, it stands for Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And so we did a lot of process-oriented therapy and healing and clearing ourselves and rose to the occasion so we could actually connect with these extremely spiritually and technologically advanced beings. And so because of that, we invite them. We don't chase them around with cameras trying to get a picture. We go within and we invite them to come and participate and show themselves, and they do. And that's why we've been so successful. And we also share all of our footage, all of our information for public acclamation. So we're not out there trying to make a buck, you know, or yeah, I got the $1 million photo, you know, and everything else. I always tell people, don't quit your day job, you know. You know, you might get $50 for it, if anything. But we always share our footage, but we also have a disclaimer in there. And we just say, you know, use it in a positive manner. Don't show our footage and say they're coming to eat you, you know, human pilaf, and to destroy you and conquer you. You know, we ask people not to do that. But and because of that, this place has become an internationally known hotspot, and the movies that are made here, Contact Has Begun, and all the documentaries and everything are just go ballistic on the website. So I think Contact Had Begun, the first 2 weeks got 28 million hits on the, and so it's, you know, this is big. It's a big event that's unfolding here. But you know, basically we can all be a part of this event. We can welcome them in. We can do our own filming, do our own documentation of what's going on. We welcome that. And some big things are unfolding right now. The next 2 years are going to be, 2 years from now, you're going to look back and not even know who you were almost. You're going to go through so many changes and so many shifts. And there's going to be so many events unfolding. So the only thing I can say is buckle up, you know, because it's going to be a wild ride the next 2 years. And a lot of really good things are happening. And I know they're happening from the top down because I'm involved in it. So there's amazing things happening, even with the economy. There's all kinds of amazing things happening with I can't talk too much about it, but I've been on the phone with the he's the Jade Emperor, basically. He's he'd be part of the Golden Dragon Society, and so without him nothing moves. Nothing moves. And so things are being shifted, they're being changed, the money's being taken out of the cabal's hand and put in a whole different system. And so that system is earmarked for the benefit of humanity and the earth. So this whole new system is getting ready to come into place. Doesn't mean the cabal aren't going to pull a few stunts or try to pull a few stunts, and hopefully the white hats are going to pull the rug out from under, which they have several times already. You know, and a lot of people get mad at me because I go, I love Putin, you know, like this, because he just pulled the rug out of Obama and Kerry, you know, with their war. He just pulled the rug right out from under him. You know, they're trying to start World War III over there, and he stepped in and just made them look like fools and stopped the war. So, you know, these other guys keep trying to push their agenda, and there's other people that are stepping up to the plate and pulling the rug out from under the agenda. So you'll see, you know, push-pull, you know, wars, rumors of wars, but you're not going to see World War III. You're not going to see a nuclear launch. That's impossible right now because of the higher beings watching this place. And so there's, you know, there's going to be some rocky times as we go through the transition, but in the end it's going to be really good. So that's basically all I have to say, and I'll turn it over to Clay.
As James says, the whole idea of an apocalypse or an end, it all starts spiritually. Before you start seeing the material end, the spiritual side is where we see the breakdown. I've talked many times about tulpas. I've talked many times about manifesting those tulpas. It's real. we manifest what we think. And we always have been that kind of group. And I always, when I do my shows, I always think to myself, as I'm reporting some of the information that's coming out, that it just seems that there are so many people that are so tied up in and basically exercising a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you feel there is no future, then no future will be had by you. There are others, however, that see futures. There are others, however, that see positive futures. And it's their positive future that they're going to enjoy and have. Every single one of us here, as James said, you come here, and if you have an agenda or if you have any kind of preconceived ideas to what's going to happen, chances are you're not going to have an experience here. You know, many times we think we have an understanding of what these experiences are, and the reason why we think we do is because we have Hollywood, we have all these other types of media that try to interpret what these experiences are. And people don't realize that when they have the experiences themselves, that there's an inner struggle that happens when the experiences take place. And that inner struggle is, did I really see that? Am I really being enriched by what I've seen? How do I apply it? Is it going to torment me for the rest of my life because I had this experience and I'm going to be constantly struggling with whether or not I'm hallucinating or something else is going on? I've done that many times. I've had that experience so many times I still try and ask myself, why me? Why do I have all these wonderful experiences? It's because I look for them. We're here to look for that experience. We're here as spiritual beings trying to have human experiences. Some of us are humans that want to have spiritual experiences. Whatever you are is who you are, and it's wonderful. It is something that, you know, for me and what I do every day, I tell people the reason why I do what I do is because every day for me is like Christmas. What can I look at today that I can comment on that someone else is not even going to think about? I'm going to go in a line of thinking that no one has ever decided to think about. I'm glad God has given me that gift. I'm grateful that I've had the opportunity to live through all my problems and still am here today to talk to you all about how wonderful it is to be a part of something so great, something greater than we are. I'm hoping, I just want to see by raise of hands, I'm sure many of you have, but maybe not. How many have had an experience that they cannot explain by the raise of hands? Okay. How many want an experience or they want to see something by the raise of hands? If you do. I'm telling you now that you all will. You will have an experience. And what's interesting too is that there are so many opportunities behind you of things that can happen to you, but you're not looking behind you, you're looking in front of you. So as you look in front of you, everything will come into view if you find yourself in a mindset to accept what you see. Not everybody is going to be able to see what's out there. That is why you need to have a guide, somebody like James or someone who's been experienced before, who knows what these ships are like. I've told this story many times about how when the ships came from the New World and they landed in the new lands, in this new world and frontier we call our continent, North America, the inhabitants of North America did not see the ships and they were in the ocean waiting. It took the shaman and the medicine men and all of those high sacerdotes or priests to tell the people what to look for, to guide them and say, this is what the ships look like. This is what they're going to act like. This is what the men are going to look like. Be prepared. So many times we've had people on radio shows and writing things and speaking and saying, this is what to prepare for in the future. This is what we're seeing as a trend. This is what we're seeing as what might happen. And you know, it's not foolish to prepare for a future that's going to be rocky. We chose this life to come here and ride the roller coaster. Roller coasters are fun. They go up and down. They make you feel a little sick, and they make you feel a little anxious. That's the world in a nutshell. Either that, or you want to ride some stupid merry-go-round, go around in circles, and feel like nothing's accomplished. But in this world, we have the white-knuckle effect all the time. We come close many times, and many times we're relieved to know that we have been spared. but even in the life of being spared and going through these hard times and meeting face forward to the possibility of death, or face forward to the possibility of injury, or face forward to the possibility of danger, all of us are awake enough to understand that we can face anything. All we have to do is endure. It's not about reading the book and knowing who wins. It's about being the person who wins. It's about being the person who sees these things. It's about being the example that people look to and they say, what makes them so happy? What makes them so with it and relevant? It's because you believe you are. Birds fly because they know they can. They're not supposed to. Their wings and their bodies and their bones are all brittle and they're hollow. But they fly. They just jump off and do it. Here, you can fly. Here, you can see things that will just blow you away. Here, there's evidence to show that people have these experiences. Video, recordings, experiences that are told time and time again. All of these things are just, you know, there for you here. This is like Disneyland for the spiritual. It's an amazing place. One of the things that I want to point out tonight, we have footage to show, James has footage to show, but I would really love it tonight. We're kind of in the Ground Zero lounge mode, but we're not in a beer hall, but we certainly have the Ground Zero lounge mode going on with this little microphone over here. So if anybody has any questions or wants to make commentary about what's going on, any questions you may have of James or myself, man, I got worked up sitting out there talking about some things while I was having dinner. I would love to talk to each and every one of you. I would love to have questions asked. We're all here, we're all friends. It's like one big family. And gosh, I tell you what, I am so filled with some good stuff right now that I would love to talk with you. So if you have anything to ask or if you have anything to say, by all means, I'd love to hear from you tonight. And if you don't have any questions, we have footage that we're gonna show you. It's really gonna blow you away because I was here last year, again, I was here. And we were so blown away the fact that we saw the mountain open up and lights came out of it. We have that on the camera. We were saving it for a documentary that we're working on, but it is the most amazing thing. We saw lights come out of the mountain last year. We had lights flashing at us from the mountain last year. We had a dance, and it was like a ballet, a light ballet.
Yeah.
Where two lights came shooting past us, and then one dropped below, and another one started going around it in a circle. It was the most amazing thing to watch. And so we're hoping, and a Bigfoot sighting, so we're hoping that everything that you see, you'll be fulfilled and be happy when you see it. So, are there any questions before we show footage? And don't be afraid, because I don't bite, and I know people want to talk about anything, or they want to share their experiences or anything like that. So if there are any questions, I'd love to hear them. Go ahead, over there, the microphone.
Yeah, I want to ask about the reptilians. You mentioned they hail from, or is it different? The reptilians that come in different dimensions, and how do they affect us with the energies? I know that they're kind of like parasites in a way, but this is the impression that I get in their energies, and that they're just very negative beings, and they give off negative energy from humans. And also, I understand that that's being kind of cleaned up right now, that they're kind of being removed from our from Earth. So if you clear that up a little bit for me, that'd be great.
I'll take that. You want me to take it?
Yeah, take it. You take it.
All right. Reptilians. We have a saying here, we've been working with these beings that are, they're the ancient lion beings, and they call them Nerissa. Bakal is one we've been working with here, Sekhmet in Egypt. But in India, they were the protectors of the gods, and they're very big. They're about 17 feet tall, and I actually have the recording of one on my phone. I might be able to rig it up here and play it. I'll see if I can. But it's pretty amazing. I'll play it out in the Skywatch field for sure. But the what we do is what I found out in dealing with these low-level beings. They're using the fourth dimension, and they're playing around there, and they're manipulating people. They have total control over the first three chakras, which are survival, sex, and power. And so they know how to manipulate you using those energies. But when you raise up into the heart, they can't really manipulate you anymore. And you feel them and you can... But we all have higher guides and masters and beings that we can call on to remove them out of our space. And there's a massive removal process right now that... last word I heard was about there's about 6% of the bad nasties left, and they're finishing that up, cleaning it up. But one of the Palladians told me, you know, I go, what is going on? Why am I getting hammered so much, you know, at night and hit with these energies and folding my body up and everything? It's just like there's a battle going on, you know. And they told me, they said, you pissed off the reptilian god, you know. And I said, good, you know. So, we've been working with these energies for quite some time. There's a big cleanup going on, and the grays, the manipulative energies, I call them low-level contacts that are on the lower fourth dimension, are there's a massive cleanup going on. The underground bases are being cleaned up, and so there's just a little bit left. They've gotten rid of most of it. But I have pictures of them in the past and recordings of them and stone carvings of the reptilians that show they've been around for a long time. And they've been in our ancient history. But, you know, we're evolving. It's part of our evolution to join the star nations, the greater family of man. And we're in that process right now. And they're coming in and they're cleaning up, helping us clean up. And there's a big planetary liberation movement going on and it's happening in all the higher dimensions. And it's cleaning up. And it'll filter down to this dimension. But the Illuminati and a lot of those guys, the banksters, they actually do ceremony and they invite these beings in because they want, you know, sex, survival, and power. They want control over all that. They operate out of pure greed and they want fame and wealth and power and money, you know, basically, and that's their whole focus. And because they've chosen that direction, they've sold their souls and the reptilians have jumped in and they're like overlords on these beings, but they're being taken out right now. And what's happening is Illuminati, those who have made that choice to align themselves through ceremony and ritual and things like that, are floundering right now. They don't have their overlords anymore and they've lost them. And so they're making all kinds of mistakes and their empires are collapsing and they're being exposed for everything that they're doing and have been doing. So, you know, they do exist. I found some interesting things with Randy Kramer. He said that the reptilians are actually warring with themselves. That there's one group that they're kind of okay. We get along with them okay, but they're kind of aggressive. And then there's the Dracos, which they hate. And the one that we kind of get along with, they're a little more aggressive, are much more powerful than the Dracos. And so when they have a skirmish and they have a conflict, he said, you don't want to be anywhere near it. You just want to get out of Dodge, you know, when that happens. Because they have psi abilities. They have the ability to move things. And they war with spiritual technologies and things like that. It's pretty amazing. But you know, luckily we have the higher dimensional beings have full use of creational energies. They're far beyond these other guys. And they're coming in now to clean up the mess. I hope I answered that. To answer your questions? Okay.
We've attempted also many times on my show to discuss what is known as a synarchy. And what a synarchy is when a government answers to an external authority. And this authority is not God. This authority is a supernatural authority. And Paul Hellyer, who was the ex-Canadian Prime Minister, he has said many times that he believes that the United States government right now is under the control of a synarchy. And what that is that our government is answering to these beings. No one knows if they're chaotic or not, but they certainly are the tall whites. And the tall whites are these very, I'd say they're about maybe 9-10 feet tall beings that wear hoods. And they are like these masters that are giving guidance to the country, much like the same guidance that was given to the Nazis in the 1940s. Now, these Nazis, they were getting guidance from these beings. These beings were actually summoned by the Vril. They were summoned by the Thule Society. They were summoned in dark enclaves, and they were being used. Now, throughout history, we've talked about how these types of beings have been brought forward from the ether, as he said, dimensional beings. People like Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard did the Babylon working in the desert, and they said that something got through. The being that got through looked something like a reptilian alien. And ever since that time, there was a fascination with those sorts of things. That's why I'm saying that, not to discredit what happened in Roswell, but there's plenty of history before Roswell that prepped us for that opportune moment when the crash that happened. Timing's everything, and the reason why Roswell is such a big deal is because so many people glommed onto that. But the real history of this type of event happened right here where you're sitting. This goes beyond Roswell. This goes beyond all of it. Maury Island. How many people for the Maury Island affair by raise of hand? A few of you. Maury Island, 1947. Two men, harbor patrol men in a boat, saw six discs flying overhead. One had a problem, dropped slag onto the boat, killed the dog, and it basically injured his son. He wanted to come forward with the information, but what happened? He got told that if he came forward with the information, he'd be killed, and his family would be killed too by the men in black. So they backed off, and then of course they signed a confession that it was all a hoax. I believe they signed that confession with a gun to their head, because they had to, because J. Edgar Hoover sent to Maury Island two men in a B-25 to inspect the slag that came off the alien ship. And that plane crashed in Kelso. We went to the crash site. We were there. We saw it. We went to the museum. We touched the wreckage of that plane. We saw the newspaper. We saw it all. And what's interesting is, if all of that coverage was done in 1947, then how was it a hoax? It wasn't a hoax. Then Kenneth Arnold, as he was flying his plane between Mount Rainier and Mount Adams, saw nine wedge-shaped craft flying together over this very spot where we sit now. And those wedge-shaped craft disappeared over Mount Adams. So they don't talk about the rich history of the UFO sightings of the 1940s that happened right in the spot where you're sitting right now. Those UFO sightings were plentiful. They just happened to be seen by Kenneth Arnold. And then came Roswell. Then came the crash of Roswell. Then came the big hullabaloo that something crashed in the New Mexican desert. Things were covered up. They said it was a weather balloon and it was something else. So that's what I always tell people. They say, well, what's so important about Mount Adams? And I say, if you read your UFO history, this place is a hot spot. This place is where Kenneth Arnold saw the flying saucers. This is where a number of people have had their experiences. There's something about this place. And so what I'm getting at is, from all that time, whether it be the Nazis or some other government or what have you, there's always been a rumor that we have a synarchy. And I don't know if they're the reptilians or who they are, but it certainly has given us reason to think, because we've been so territorial, we've been getting involved with so many things and destabilizing countries, that perhaps they're giving the wrong advice. And eventually they too will meet their bad ends, as James said, because they will, if they are doing what they're doing with our country. So that's how I see it. Any other questions?
I'm going to add a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
just a little addition. Kenneth Arnold lost sight of the ships when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams, which is right there. We're looking at it. We're looking at the southwest side of Mount Adams. So I'll show you a little footage of the door actually opening on Mount Adams and things coming out of it. So that's basically where the ships went. They went into the interior. And there's a massive underground facility there that many remote viewers have been here and looked at and said, it's like an intergalactic highway or intergalactic airport there. They said there's so many different beings there coming in and out. It's just mind-blowing. But anyway, I'll turn.
Anyone have a question? Go ahead. Get on the board with him, and then we'll do you again. And if anybody else, please. Go ahead.
James, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the property.
that's a book.
Short version,
I died, drowned, came back, had a vision, followed it, ended up here. That's a short version. But basically, I had visions. I was in Santa Cruz, California, and I was teaching. I was with the Tibetan Foundation and the TIC, the Teachings of the Inner Christ, and I was teaching workshops and classes there, and I kept having a vision of this big mountain in front, and I saw the little mountain and the river, and I kept seeing this place over and over again, and I took a map of the United States, and I used divination methods and found it through the map of my closet, forgot about it, and ended up here anyway through a series of synchronistic events, which was kind of funny. But when I stepped on the land, I knew this was it. But I kept seeing the words little mountain, and it made no sense to me. Why am I seeing little mountain? There's this massive mountain there, and it turned out to be on Little Mountain Road. You know, so that was the weird part I couldn't put together until I got here. I started this place out as a healing center. We were doing a lot of process-oriented therapy and deep meditation techniques and just a lot of conscious and energy work. I wasn't looking for ETs. As a child, I had contact. I watched the heavens as a kid. My sister in the back there was with us. We were in Apple Valley, California, and we'd sleep outside at night, just watch the ships flying around, and we just accepted it, you know, that... Yeah, of course there's stuff out there. And my grandmother was involved in Roswell, and my grandfather, and they sold the equipment to the Swenson Ranch and knew, I think it's Brazel, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, but yeah, they knew him and they knew the first responders. And the sheriffs came to them right after they had their experience and talked to my grandmother, who was the matriarch of the town. She's the school teacher. And they said, Elizabeth, we're not alone. You know, we can't talk about it, but he goes, we're not alone. And she was giving them coffee, and they couldn't hold the cup. Their hands were like shaking like this, and they couldn't even hold a coffee cup. They were so shaken up by it. And then they did tell her, and they said, but you can't tell anybody, you know, what happened out there. And so, you know, I hear stories like that, and especially my grandmother. She doesn't tell stories. These are salt of the earth people, and definitely I believe in it. But you know, it's been a long, arduous journey, just keeping this place together, holding things together, building these places, and doing it on a shoestring budget. And my sister and brother and family were there all along, watching me, you know, watching the crazy man out in the field building an ark, and supporting me through that whole process, and it's been a really long journey, but I feel it's finally come to fruition, and all the people are coming here, and it's amazing. We have this old saying, you know, the field of dreams out there, you know, if you build it, they will come. But for a while there, I thought what they really said is, if you build it, you are dumb, you know, because nobody came for quite a while. But now everybody's coming, and they're recognizing the place. But you know, David Akers, Greg Long, they've all written books about Mount Adams, and the elders at the Yakima Nation know all about Mount Adams. They know about the Crystal City underneath it, and they used to take their wounded and their sick to a door, and they would take them inside and heal them in a very short period of time. So there's all kinds of legends about this, and they said that they had to close the door, they had to stop contact, because the surface dwellers were becoming too arrogant and too aggressive, and their technology was far ahead of their spirituality, so they had to close the door. And they said there'll come a time when the door will open again, when humanity on the surface is ready, and that's what we're moving towards. We're moving towards getting ready for that event.
Okay, then her, we'll have her up to you.
Okay, I have last question. I have two-parter. I understand you were taken off our, you wanted to go up on a ship, they brought you on a ship. I mean, these are higher dimensional beings. Do you feel like they brought you up into their dimension, or do you feel like they came down into our dimension? And also one other thing, I understand there's been landings on the ranch, and
yeah,
if you could describe that to us, that would be really cool, and how it felt when they came down to that level.
Yeah, there's been some. In the very beginning, I had one-on-one contact. I had face-to-face contact with some, and they would be walking right next to me. I'd be walking down the road here, and all of a sudden, I'd see them out of the corner of my eye, and I'd be having a conversation with them, and then they just disappear. And whenever I looked straight at them, I would have a hard time focusing on them, and then they would disappear. But I saw these beautiful women in blue jumpsuits and things like that would be walking right alongside of us. And they're just phased out of our reality, but they can drop in when we're ready. And I've had neighbors have seen ships over the house with a beam coming down, and then I go up, and next thing you know, I'm on the ship. I don't know, it's some kind of a beam technology they use. So I'll be laying in bed, and I'm on the ship the next minute. And I've had one encounter. They came over, and they picked me up, and they flew me over to the fire tower here, you know, and there was an older couple and a kid in there. They rented the fire tower, and they just sat there for a while, and they calmed the people down on the inside because they're freaking out. And then they took me back. And so about a week later, I see this Jeff Gianola on Town Hall, the local guy here, interviewing these people that were in the fire tower, an older couple with their grandson. And he drew a picture of the ship and everything else and held it up, and it was the exact same couple. When they put me back in bed after the event, I thought it was just a really vivid dream. And when I saw Town Hall, I went, oh my God, that did happen. Like I was on that ship, you know. So some are very vivid, some are face-to-face. I've met Pleiadians face-to-face. Some, they'll take you out of body. They can take you up into the sixth dimension and keep you on a plasma ship where everything's just energy. I've had that experience. And I have photographs of me actually going out of body and showing people how to do that, where I'll go out of body and go on the ships and meet like the felines or all the different beings that are on the big motherships. Yeah. So those motherships have beings that would blow your mind on them. You know, some are very short and they look like ET kind of. Some are extremely tall. They're like 9 feet tall beings, you know, wearing robes. You know, there's some are blue. You know, blue-skinned beings. There's some are feline beings. There's so many different types of beings on those ships that, you know, you'll think you're going crazy. If you go on that ship and you're not prepared mentally, you'll think you're losing it. You know, so that's the whole thing, is we gotta drop the fear and prepare ourselves, you know, mentally and spiritually to have these contacts, because, you know, I have pictures of ETs appearing right in the field. They look just like the movie ET. And most people run when that happens. So you have to prepare yourself when that happens to hang out and talk with them. And they're very ancient beings. They're totally benevolent, but they just look weird. You know, they look weird. But having a couple near-death experiences in the last drowning I had, I don't really fear death anymore. I mean, I'm going to do all I can to stay alive, but I don't fear death anymore. And hanging out with the source in that experience that I had, it's hard to top something after that, you know, when you're standing in front of this incredible golden white light and it's conscious and you're just experiencing so much love and joy and bliss. You know, it's after that experience, it's hard to top that one. So all the other stuff is like, oh, that's interesting, you know, when it happens, you know. So I mean, that's where I'm coming from with it. So I just, if we learn to train ourselves to stick around and learn how to heal unseen negative influences, there's training involved in that. You can stand your ground and connect with these people and get rid of the fear, you know, around contact.
Thanks. Hello.
Hi. So the guys that were people, I suppose, that you talked about, you were from the last, that you worked with here, did you start working with them once you got here, or were they a part of your life and process beginning?
That's a good question. What happened when I was 5 years old, I had Brocken pneumonia, and they told my parents I wasn't going to make it through the night. And I had a being appear to me over and over again. And it turned out, I didn't know who it was. She was dressed in blue. And actually, that's a photograph of her on the wall right there. You can see her. But it turned out to be Mary. And like, Mary's a universal being, and she's connected to the Pleiadians. They're all connected. And so I had Pleiadians coming to me. They're taking me up on the ship. I don't remember all of it. I remember they were helping me a lot. A lot of things were happening that I didn't understand as a kid, which later I figured out, you know, what it was about. So I've had things happen. A lot of us have. We just don't remember. But when I had the near-death experience and crossed over, the Orion Council of Light came to me after that, and they hit me with three big gold balls of light in the chest when I was in the bathtub, and they restored all my memories, past life memories, everything. So I now have full memory of other dimensions, other civilizations, other, and living there and actually being a part of those civilizations. And because of that, I know what they're, what they want. You know, they want us to live in peace and harmony and you know, find balance in nature and evolve. That's all they want. They want us to move to the next level, and they want to walk among us. They want to hang out with us. So, but we have to drop, you know, the fear and the aggression and the unworthiness and guilt and all these programs that we picked up here in this earth walk before they can hang out with us. Because it's hard for them. It's hard for them to be around that energy. They feel it, and it's rough on them. But they don't look down on us or judge us. They're just here to help us. They see us as the, like, little brothers and sisters that need a little help to get through this transition. But I hope that answered your question.